got an email. Well, it wasn't an email, but it was written to me. This is an individual. Now, I'm not going to share the name. That's just simply policy. Unless somebody gives me permission to read or unleash some of their information. But this individual wrote to me the other day, and it was striking because I was finishing up the work for this series this week on Shatter the Darkness live broadcast, and it's the physics of miracles. And so this simple little line that an individual wrote to me, I'll just read it direct. Here's what it says. Quote, "I pray every day that your God doesn't exist." End of quote. Let me say it again. "I pray every day that your God doesn't exist." This is somebody that has to have listened to what, maybe listening right now by God's providence, by the providence of the God that I know that does exist. But I'm stricken by this phrase. I pray that every day your God doesn't exist. Why am I stricken? Because I know God. I've walked with God. I know God. I know his goodness. I know his love. I know how he's helped me. I know his compassion. I know God in Christ. And my life is all about conveying the message of God and the passion of God and the will of God to reach every single human being God loves. And even this individual that wrote, I know, there's no question. It's in my experience. It's in the revelation of the Spirit of God in Scripture, of course. It's in the nature of the coming of Christ. Jesus says that I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Maybe that's how you feel today. I don't know. Maybe as you're listening, all hell has broken loose in your life. Well, we say that, don't we? All hell has broken loose, though not one of us have been to hell. We haven't seen it. I wonder if we did. Like the man in the scripture that went there and then begged to have somebody sent back to warn his brothers. Here we simply have a phrase, and I'm adopting this individual as my friend. I'm adopting them as my friend, and I'm telling them that I love you, and that I'm going to convey God in all of his existence that I can. Just a sinner forgiven, just a man, just a human being like you, but I want to tell you that not only does God exist, but God is good, and God is necessary. So he writes, quote, "I pray every day that your God doesn't exist," end of quote. Well, I've got more to say concerning it. This is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness Live, broadcast, brand new week, May the 9th on a Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome to all those dear friends listening by satellite radio. And listen, all those in the internet world, and it's so big and so vast and so growing. And sometimes up to 100,000 to 150,000 of you that download the archives later on and all the other MP3s. You know what somebody else wrote me? Just cracked me up today. Now, this other friend wrote. He wrote to me to say that he had his earbuds in, that he's listening to an MP3 of one of mine that I was doing on the Antichrist, and that all of a sudden when I said, "The Antichrist is coming," the volume went to maximum on his earbuds and kind of blew his ears out, I guess. I guess it would blow his ears out. So I wonder what that was all about. I guess the screaming of the Antichrist is coming. Well, that was stated by the Spirit of God 2,000 years ago in the book of 1 John chapter 2, and we are closer now than ever before. As I've said, my opinion, the Antichrist has been born and is waiting. The restrainer that God has put in place holds back the hellish chaos. I would say to the friend of mine, the adopted friend of mine, never met you, the one that wrote that I pray every day that your God doesn't exist, I hope that at some point as you look at radical evil in the face and you see the hopelessness, helplessness of a fallen, broken world, I hope you'll then begin to desire that a God, an eternal, infinite, awesome God that knows how to relate, does exist. You see, I'm at a funeral a week ago. It's kind of like a mother, a second mother to me. Winnie Shipe, she's 80s and she's in her 80s. And they're the ones that took me in when I had nowhere to go back in the days of my early Bible school days in 1976, 1977, years ago. And she dies. She knew the Lord. They allowed me to speak at the funeral, and I could not help but to tell some of the fun things and funny things. Couldn't help but to break down a little bit in some tears. Her body in the casket, everybody else there, her husband in his 80s sitting there, other family members sitting there. What are we going to say? What are we going to say? If it was Richard Dawkins giving the eulogy, what would he say? Just about a human being, glad that we lived, and it's all over? Zip, zap, we're done? Non-existence? We just live and we die. We don't know why. Listen, I don't know about you, but for me, the dry, empty atheist, the dry, empty, angry atheist has more questions than he has answers. You know what I did? I wrote back to this individual that wrote to me. He said, I pray that your God doesn't exist. So I wrote back, I guess that's one that has never and will never be answered. By the way, who do you pray to? And this friend, my adopted friend now, whether you like it or not, adopted friend, I love you, going to pray for you, going to ask that the God that does exist in the amazing providence and because of his passionate pursuit will engage you again. You know, I say again, I'm going to read again without telling this person's name. Won't do that. He writes back, I pray to myself. Can I ask anybody listening, is that what you do? You pray to yourself. You ever just look in the mirror and say, oh, self, I am now talking to you myself. I am saying to myself that I wish God does not exist. Now, I'm not making light of this because it's kind of a revelation of a heart confused and angry, maybe. I don't know. But he says, I pray to myself. Goes on in his quote to say this, I used to pray to God, then I realized that he's not real. Here's how I figured it. If God is a delusion created in the mind of man, then every time someone prays to God, they're really talking to themselves. So any answer to prayer that I get is just a thought of my mind. See, we're going to deal with intention this week. We're dealing with the physics of miracles this week. The very subject matter this week that we are dealing with, that I felt led by the God that does exist to be able to speak today. One, my new adopted friend has written to me, and everything he says is everything about this entire week's theme. He goes on to say, that's why I gave up praying years ago. It's hard to think of a life without God. I know because I was raised Mormon. That's part of the problem. Which is really close to Christianity, except for the fact that Mormonism denies the deity of Christ and thus denies direct salvation and direct personal relationship to God. But that's another story right now. I continue to quote my new friend, but different in key areas, as you probably know. And my friend goes on saying this, living a godless life is hard, but it's ultimately rewarding. Stop. Let me stop there. I would like to take that to its logical conclusions. I'm quoting, living a godless life is hard. I mean, this is deep, deep information. I think that it's even beyond Bertrand Russell or even Dawkins, maybe. This is some powerful statements. I've met individuals on the street. I've met people in the offices. I've listened in a counseling session to similar things. Living a godless life is hard, but it's ultimately rewarding. He names another individual, probably a book author, describes Yahweh as the ultimate despot, God, Yahweh. Literally meaning the self-existent, always existent one, which reveals the acidity of God. Well, we'll talk about that towards the end of this. And then it goes on to say this, the ultimate despot, which is how he's depicted in the Bible. Like I said, I pray every day that there is no God. If God is real, then I'm in deep trouble, mostly. And he names some sins. I'm not going to name those. So now my dear friend says, if God is real, I see a crack in your armor. I see a crack in your armor. Some listening right now that might be seekers, might hold other positions, might hold to other spiritual alternatives, but you don't know God, and there's no question there's a crack in the armor, even of the deepest atheist. So I want to go on to say what I wrote back. Here's what I said, quote, I think if you're an honest man, then read the Gospel of Mark this week and listen to some of the radio series that I'm doing. It's on the physics of miracles. Since you have never known God on a personal basis, then you can take a little of your time to listen to one person who did not know God and then did and does. God is awesome, and I have his name written down, and he's not mad at you. No, instead, God is seeking you, even if you're not seeking him. And this week, well, it may be a massive week for you. I'm praying for you. And God does hear my prayer. He loves you, and I put in his name, and so do I. That is the expression of the heart of this radio broadcaster. This is Shatter the Darkness live broadcast. My name is Russ Dizdar. And listen, on the web, the website, if you're brand new, is shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net. And if you do go to shatterthedarkness.net, you're going to read at the very top, as you look down the middle, the physics of miracles, the power of prayer of God. How about New Age intention? Is there anything out there, or is it just a silent nothingness? The power of self, or dark spirits, or the physics of God. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read to you the barrage of questions I'm putting out there, because I want to answer them in the 5 nights we have, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here's what I wrote on the website for those who do not have the internet. Quote, what can we do to change the world? It does need changing, doesn't it? Can we stop the bleeding, or does humanity bleed to death amidst the struggle in this fallen jungle? What can we do for ourselves? How can we extend life, make it better, or even live forever? Stop the war, stop the evil, stop the pain. Won't somebody get me off this broken merry-go-round? Can humankind evolve to a godhood? Is that what is needed? What is godhood? Small g, of course. Are these the questions of transhumanists, atheists, and even Luciferian globalists? Why do we strive to leave what we are and become something beyond it? Who's in charge? Is it chance, deistic evolution? And what does the devil really want? These and other questions will be addressed on this week's live Shatter broadcast. Now, there's PDF file notes we can give you right off the web. You can take those and follow along if you'd like to. I know there's a lot of believers in Christ out there. And let me just say welcome to you for a moment and say, may the Spirit of God give you strength and might and continue to grow you to become very, very, well, powerful, knowledgeable, deeply experienced in Yahweh, in God, in Christ. Now, there's a mini-cast 15-minute overview of the week. You can listen to that also. Monday night deals with the issue of the power of prayer or New Age intention. In the absence of God, let's just say there is no God. Let's go along with my new friend that wrote to me, and he's praying every day that God doesn't exist. So if God does not exist, let's for a moment, just for a moment, erase God. Richard Dawkins, I know, would like that. A lot of angry and bitter individuals may like that. Those who cannot get God, they say if there is a God, they can't get God to submit to them and their demand for his evidences. God has his own evidences that are overwhelming. So what about in the absence of God? How high can humanity jump, reach, or gain? What about human potential? Is it all in the hands of God or man? Why do we even need anything? I mean, even this radio broadcast is an evidence of need, an evidence of one individual communicating something, engaging in the confusion that I believe is ramping up more than ever in all of history. The counterfeit, the craziness of the last days, with that ominous reality of catastrophic collapse, chaos coming, and a new order that is the most deceiving event and development in human history. What about manipulating matter? Well, we're going to dive into it this week. Again, this is Russ, and this is ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web. This is the website we're talking about, and we're going to go back and redo last week. There's one that we missed. Well, actually, two that we missed, and we're going to add to the Book of Acts. Let me just give you the heads up while we're behind on emails, behind in the Facebook, behind on sending letters of thank you back. And I do apologize, but we did have a flood here. We did have things wiped out. And my entire research center into the 9th, 10th week is still in three locations. And today, where I'm at right now, they sent people in mold mitigators that painted over the roof inside here, right above my head. All the black stuff that was in the ceiling, they painted over it. It's still behind the paint. So we are in the context right now of deciding to leave, and we're going to have to move. So we are going to continue to do things, adapting to everything else going on around us. But don't mistake a little bit of a delay and things like that for all that we intend and the passion of God in reaching out to you. All I can tell you is right now, I feel His presence, His awe, His awesome hand and life, the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm going to pray this week that God brings miracles into lives. I'm going to pray, again, not that God is like a big candy jar, put a quarter in, turn the knob, and get the candy we want. God's not the great grand wizard. We ask Him to just swing His wand and do. He's not the Force, you know, like in Star Wars, so that we can bend the Force. We can adapt to the Force. We can use the Force. We can get, we're all tangled, right? And we're going to get into all of it. 3 points tonight. Life in need of miracles or nothing? B, is it in the hands of man? C, or is it in the hands of God? Now, we're going to talk about how we can reach God, too, in all of this. But a couple of things quickly. I noticed today that Mississippi, the river, is almost at an overflow stage as it was in the 1930s. People are astounded by the floods and all that's going on around us. But then I read of 600 people on some kind of ferry. They are leaving Libya. They're trying to get away. They're like refugees. They're wanting to get away. They want to get away from the bloodshed. They want a land of freedom. They want a land where there's no violence and just the decimation of humanity. So they're looking. Listen, here's human beings launching out with families, just wanting to get away from the pain and the violence and launch off. So in the Mediterranean Sea, the ship breaks apart, and now they're finding pieces of the ship and bodies floating up. 600. And so I feel, again, this pain for humanity, this devastating thing. Is this what happens in life? This is, do we come down to just ground zero and say, well, nothing exists. There is no God. There is no heaven above, no hell below. John Lennon, we can sing the song, Imagine. We can kind of like, smoke pot, sing the song, and, have some kind of experience with the netherworld. But then all of a sudden, sooner or later, we got to open our eyes to what happens in life. I mean, look what happened to John. There's a lot of craziness. Radical evil does exist in this world. And that's part of the reason why some people get embittered. Some people get mad. Some people that, they might have been in some kind of religious format but never met God. They might have heard things about God but never have known Him. this week, this right now today is all about. That's why it's on the notes. It's already on the notes. So to my friend that have written me on Facebook, my new friend that I've adopted, I already had it on the PDF file notes. Here's what it says at the very end of the page. Then how do we reach God? Well, those are some of the things we're going to talk about tonight, and want to just tell you that those things are coming up this week. And also, don't forget this summer that there is the Future Congress. We're going to hope you're going to be there. We're going to be able to share two times, I believe, the sessions there. And so we hope that you're going to be coming out to that. And we have a couple of others, actually about four to five others that we are looking at right now. We're not nailing down. I'm behind, actually, in getting back to two of the individuals. We'll get back to you this week. But let me tell you right now, as we enter this week, and I'm going to go over point A first of all, where it says simply this: life in need of miracles. Or is it just nothing? I mean, there's this ship or ferry or whatever it is, there's 600 people trying to get away, and look what happens to them. The boat breaks up, and the bodies, they're everywhere, floating all over the place, sinking to the bottom of the sea, and all kinds of things that are happening. And when it was going down, obviously they'd cry out, obviously the panic, obviously the fear. You know, we as humans, we don't die well in those situations. We don't die well in a lot of ways. Nietzsche didn't die well. Aleister Crowley didn't die well. I've been at the deathbed side of those that didn't know God, and there are those that did not die well at all. Can I stop here for a moment and go back to Germany in the 1920s, the 1930s? As a nation, you got a nation that is beaten down, that is hurt economically in every single way, national pride, those kind of things. And in that misery, in that pain, in that hurt, in that shame, instead of the nation reaching out to God, instead of maybe leaders that could have led and led that nation to God and to the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the instruction of God. But instead, there was the rise of the Nazi Party. Instead, there was another spiritual stream. Now, we all know the story. I'm not going to go into it deep. I'm just simply saying that an entire nation, instead of reaching for the hand of God, reached out for other hands that were injecting themselves there to create the secret societies, to create the demonized ideology. Political ideology, it was nothing more than demonic revelation. And so was the military application, the scientific application, the research application, the psychological application. And it all centers in not only the bloody war of hundreds, literally now millions and millions dying, but, you know, Auschwitz and all the rest. So that's what I'm going to point to today, to say, listen, that in this midst of seeking, searching, grabbing a hold of something, ideology, philosophy, something, a psychology, how to win friends and influence people, all the little self-help books, and we're all looking for it. We really are. We're always asking each other for things. That's why so many millions of people look at their horoscope and try to see something. So many thousands go to a psychic and they'll read and say something. Go to five psychics in the same day, and I guarantee you one thing, you're not going to get the same information. So where do you really want to put, are you going to stand there naked, alone, by yourself, saying and declaring or praying that there is no God? Then what? If no God, then what? It seems as though we live in a world where we need miracles, where we look for intervention, where we cry out for help. Look at the pictures of the Holocaust. Look at the pictures of 9/11. Look at the pictures from around the world. Look at we find in Life magazine pictures and faces of agony. We really do. You ever read what Squeaky Fromm said? You know who Squeaky Fromm is? Squeaky Fromm was the girl that, I believe it was the one that shot President Ford. She's one that engaged Charles Manson and followed Charles Manson when she was asked why she followed Charles Manson. You know what she said? That a beaten, hungry dog will follow anyone that offers it help. And in a real way, in a needy world where there is, you know, depression, psychological pain, angst, dread, trying to overpack a ferry just to escape the bloodshed in Libya, but ending up in the Mediterranean Ocean. People are searching for the bodies. It is a hellish world. If we understand hell to be a bad place, an evil place, or, you know, a place of pain, all that kind of stuff, well, then it is a hellish world. But the realities are that there is, let me stop. Let me tell you something. When I say reality, the reason I'm saying that, you know what I have in my hand? I have a book. It's called The Physics of Miracles. Subtitled, Tapping into the Field of Consciousness Potential. It's by Richard Bartlett. Now, I'm reading through this. I got all kinds of things we read and look at and study and research. And so I'm to chapter 21 right now, and here's the title of it. It says, Take the Guided Tour. You'll be glad you did. Now, I got a quote, and the reason I'm stopping here because I said reality. Page 173, I quote, the author Richard, The Physics of Miracles, in his view anyway, he's talking about the physics of miracles in a different way. And hundreds of millions around the world, they're talking about the physics of miracles by intention, by new age concepts, by entanglement, by, well, all kinds of. I mean, what about the Course in Miracles? What about Reiki healing? What about charged stones? What about bowing down and kissing the crystal skull? Listening to it communicate. What is reality then? Now, I'm reading on page 173, and I'm going to quote this, and I'm going to interact with it a little bit on the way. So listen up. At each level of the reality game, we draw to ourselves the individuals and experiences we need. At each level of mastery we are currently working on, we get assigned helper energies. Really? Who's assigning the helper energies, and what are the helper energies? Now, I know what he's saying here. Presences, things, entities, so forth. Well, this is what it goes on to say in this book on the physics of miracles. Quote, those individuals or benign patterns of energy have graduated from our particular level and are available to help us with the cheat code for our virtual reality game. These individual spirit entities. Now listen, this is interesting because what we're hearing is what, again, hundreds of millions are being drawn into when it comes to the new age, when it comes to the new physics, when it comes to, I'm going to quote again. Quote, these individual spirit entities or personalized holographic helper projections could be for us. What we personally experience as angels or spirit guides, they might look like the Archangel Gabriel, your grandmother, Louis Pasteur, or even an Ewok. Really? Are we really talking about reality here? Now, here's an individual that has everything I'm reading here. And again, I'm reading everything through here, and I don't see any confession of experienced God, knowing the living Christ. There's just no talk about that. Now, see, the reason I say that is because I'm coming from the 35 years, 36 years of knowing God. At one time in my life, I didn't. God was on the outside. God was over there. God was out there. Maybe I thought God was angry. As a kid, you know what I thought God was? This is for all the theologians out there. This is for all the theologians, heads up theologians. As a kid that was not raised in church, that was not raised with any biblical revelation whatsoever, my concept of God was the flaming head Wizard of Oz You know, when Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow went trembling before that big head, flames were flaying, and that's the concept of God. I mean, that was like as a kid, I'm watching The Wizard of Oz and God, the flaming head. Is that God? I didn't know as a kid. I was afraid of God if God was there. But I didn't pay God much attention. None of us did. The only thing in our house concerning God was the misuse of his name. So I'm reading again an individual whose experiences are like in the world of the new age and the new physics and the new entanglement theories. And so I'm reading him talking about the reality game and that the entities, energies, they might be personalized holographic helper projections. Hey, when's the last time you talked to or engaged your personalized holographic helper projections? And what about, it might even possibly be an Ewok? I thought that was in the movies. So we're talking about reality here. Now listen, it goes on to say this: I'm not suggesting that whatever you believe about religious or spiritual subjects is untrue or somehow incomplete. This is just another way to look at these concepts. It is my hope that some of what I say may be helpful to many of you reading these words. When you can grasp the basic elements of these ideas, you can begin to co-create new and magical worlds of possibilities. Whatever you have believed up to this point, if it serves you, I would hold fast to that. However, if you've been drifting away from traditional religious and scientific interpretations, now I want you to hear this, because 2,000 years ago, the Spirit of God said that with the new alternative counterfeit spiritual engagement the world will be engaged with, one of the goals, move them away from the centrality of Christ. Move them away from the faith. Move them away from God. Move them away from biblical revelation. That's the goal. That's that evolutionary, incremental, but yet ramped up approach of the dark side that is masqueraded like light, like energies, like powers, like spirits, like Ewoks. I quote one page here, page 173. However, if you've been drifting away from traditional religious and scientific interpretations, well, then perhaps, listen, traditional religious, a lot of traditional religious individuals, a lot of Catholics, a lot of Lutherans, a lot of Episcopal individuals, a lot of Anglicans, a lot of religion, but do you know God? Have you been born with the Spirit of God? Do you remember the story of Nicodemus? Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He's one of the most highly trained religious individuals around, but he doesn't know God. He comes to Christ. Read about it, John's Gospel, chapter 3. He wants to know about these things. He knows that Jesus is from God. He knows there's something true. There's something there. I mean, he braves his way to come to Jesus at night and to engage and to talk and ask questions. This highly trained religious individual didn't know God. Did you know that it's possible to be a priest, a pope, a cardinal, a pastor, a church organist, and never have known God? If religion was presented as God is far away and, you know, maybe just hang on to an icon, to a picture, look at a stained glass window, take a little bit of element of the communion in your mouth and think that that's God. Is that your experience of God? Jesus taught in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Here you've got God in human flesh. Let's listen to him. He says, in order to really experience it all, to know the kingdom, to be able to enter the kingdom, to know God, you got to be born, literally in the Greek, anybody can study it, born from above. It's a work of God. What we have lost, what's missing from the inside, is what God comes to replace: a direct connection to God, a direct knowing, a direct indwelling, person to person, spirit to spirit. Relationship is built at the moment of salvation, when the living Christ comes into any life, when we are born again of the Spirit of God. So you can have a Mormon background, a Jehovah's Witness background, you can have a New Age background. A lot of New Agers, left traditional religious, you know, mainliners, because it was all just an outward mystery. And you never got to God, though God wanted to get to you. And if it was never explained, and that's part of the notes at the end of this PDF page that is here for today, then how can we reach God? If I scream out to you and cry out to you and pour out to you a testimony that I know God is good, not because of one experience, not because of a flash in the pan, but a walk that has now lasted 36 years. A walk that involves, I've seen pain. I know what I've seen in my life. I don't need to tell you that. I know pain. I know how to bleed emotionally. I know how to be crushed. But I know how to talk to God. I know the compassion of God. I know the interaction with God. I know the voice of God. I know that He intervenes. Even now there's prayers and our families prayed about moving and in the midst of our own stuff here. We're not alone. My wife knows God. My daughter knows God. And as we pray together, it's a reality. It's a relationship. We share about our relationship with God, the God that exists, the God that I want you to know about. You see, in the context of a great spiritual deception that is pouring over the planet, that is going to come with unprecedented might, along with great devastations. Part of the tactics of the dark side is to let great devastations come and then make you mad at God, blame God, get bitter at God, and maybe begin to pray daily that God doesn't even exist. If you don't know Him, this is a awe moment, a divine appointment. It is a moment of God. Listen to those that download there in Russia, Central Russia, Moscow, other places, all through Europe. You can look at an old stained glass window, an old church that's been turned into a cafe, and say, wow, that's incredible architecture. That's an incredible stained glass window. Look at that. That's supposed to be the Christ hanging on a cross. Beautiful stained glass window, drinking down a cappuccino. Do you know Him? Did you know that He came so that you could? Did you know that was the entire reason for the cross? Did you know that has everything to do with the second coming? You ever read John's Gospel chapter 14? Jesus says He's going to go away. He's going to build a place. He's going to come again for one reason, to get us. For one reason, to gather us to Him, to take us where He is. It's what the second coming is all about. I want to read what it says here. However, if you've been drifting away from traditional religious, many listeners may have drifted away because you never knew God. Many millions of New Agers never met God in a Catholic church. Oh, there's the icon, there's the pictures, there's the statue, there's the cross, there's Mary, there's the baby Jesus, there's ceramic, there's... I mean, it feels religious, it seems religious, but if God doesn't dwell in your heart, priest, pope, cardinal, pastor, leader, then you don't know God. What about scientific interpretations? You know that a lot of scientists, you know the old atheistic, the old God doesn't exist scientists? Been out there so long studying and looking and even under, you know, the concepts of intelligent design and looking at DNA and looking at everything else, looking at the awe-striking universe, delving into the new physics, there is this sense of, well, there's got to be something. There's got to be something out there. Interesting that many scientists, I've got a book called Scientists Who Believe. I mean, Nobel Peace Prize winners and world-renowned astrophysicists and many others that believe in Christ, know Christ, walk with Christ. I like Paul Davies. I like others, physicists, and those that know their stuff well can confess what I confess. Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, He's come for us. There's a way to know God. There's a way for God to get inside you. and for you to embrace Him, to experience God, to know, to grow, to have from the inside your entire being lit up by God's presence with an ultimate goal of eventually seeing God face to face. It deals with the fix of your sin, your evil, your wrong. It deals with the issue of your brokenness inside. It deals with heaven, hell, death, Satan, all of it. I mean, God's here to redeem. God's redeeming. God's changing everything at the moment of salvation. Now, according to Richard that wrote the book here, Physics of Miracles, from a kind of a New Age physicist seeker point of view, he says on this one page, 173, when you can grasp the basic elements of these ideas, you can begin to co-create new and magical worlds of possibilities. See, since 36 years ago, I've never needed to do that. You know, he says, however, if you've been drifting away from traditional religious or scientific interpretations, and that's because many people that had nothing didn't know God, both in religious circles and scientific circles, he goes on to say this, quote, then perhaps some of these ideas may be of service to you. I believe that angels and masters, saints, and other entities exist apart from you and me without any input from my energy. And yet I also have come to suspect that how I experience these things is colored and seasoned by my cultural as well as my personal concepts and biases. Pretty honest. If you've not had angelic intervention or a connection with spirit guides in your life up to this point, perhaps you might consider borrowing a page. And then he's going to quote Hindu scriptures and move you in one direction. So here's a guy that's written a book, The Physics of Miracles, and guided by the spiritual experiences and his quest and studies, he's now going to point you to spiritual writings that have come from planar spirits, from the other side, from the ones that oppose God, that will lead you away from God, Christ, Bible, and will bring you into other real experiences. So I go back to the notes and I say, point A, the question, life in need of miracles. What are we reaching for? I mean, what did Squeaky Fromm really need when Charles Manson came by and recruited a hungry, beaten-down, wounded girl that considered herself like a dog, just wanted somebody to help her, somebody to reach out? You ever read the Psalms when the psalm writer again and again cries out to God, brings his complaint to God, talks about having grief to the point that he staggers like a drunk man, that his emotions are so bent, so destroyed, so wounded that he staggers under pain like a drunk man, drunk with pain. In every case in the psalm, every single case in the Psalms where the writer seeks God, makes God the refuge, makes Yahweh, this God, this good God that came in human flesh. Yahweh came in human flesh. If you want to see God, you got to look at Christ. That's why I'm going to ask you this week. That's why I'm going to ask my new adopted friend and others that are listening, and maybe my adopted friend has engaged others, maybe some Richard Dawkinites, to kind of listen. I would suggest to you Francis Schaeffer's book, The God Who Is There. Francis Schaeffer's great book, He Is There, God Is There, and He's Not Silent. But more than that, I'm going to suggest to you the Gospel of Mark. If you read the first chapter, I'm going to tell you this is Yahweh in human flesh, God in human flesh. You want to take a look at Yahweh? You want to take a look at God? You want to take a look? Don't be afraid. Don't walk away. Don't turn down the volume. Don't take the earbuds out of your ears. This may be an incredible providential moment. It might be really like a miracle to you, because there is something working. There is something happening. See, before I came to know God, there was something working. There was something happening. I didn't know it. I didn't know that a month prior to coming to know Christ, that a girl picked up a yearbook and saw my picture in the yearbook, remembered that I was a wild, crazy, drinking, fighting, occultist Buddhist, and she began to, in that little Baptist Baptist Church, she began to pray for me to get saved. And in that month when I did get saved, when a man unleashed the gospel of Christ on me, when I was drunk and high, by that presence, by that power, obviously there was like, well, it was like a miracle. It was like something supernatural. It was more than the man, more than what he spoke. I even ran from him. I told the story. But it was that night, the Spirit of God engaged me, pursued me. And now that I had heard the message, now that I had listened, now that I got the content, God gripped me, as God might be gripping you. Don't pull away, because this is the God that is drawing you into relationship. He won't make you. He won't snap your brain. He won't program you. But God will bring himself, will speak into you. God will point, yes, to the sin issue. Yes, to your lostness. Yes, to your emptiness. Yes, the revelation that God is not on the inside. You're dead and dying on the inside. What are you going to do with that? Yeah, God grips you. God grabs you. I've seen it so many times in 37 years. We've helped share the same message. No different. Thousands of individuals, face to face, sometimes by dozens and dozens at a time, coming to Christ, giving heart and life, and opening your life to the living Christ, who's knocking at the door, seeking to come into your life with his presence, with his power, with his grace, with his mercy, with answers. So don't think it's strange if you don't know God and you're listening, that you begin to realize this is no mistake. This is not by accident. This is not just some coincidence. This is literally a divine moment. God is summoning you. God has arranged it. And God is drawing you. And it's all about knowing God and experiencing God. That's what the Greek word know, gnosko. This is the word experiential relationship to God. The moment you say yes to Christ, the moment you say yes, come into my life, I accept you, I believe in you, I receive you as Lord, Savior, and God, come in. Well, the inside is lit up by the Spirit of God. Everything changes then. All of a sudden, a love and a relationship. Now, you might be on the other side of the fence, hearing me talk, feeling what? What do you feel? What do you really feel? Are you being honest? Can I ask you that if you're honest, you'd read the Gospel of Mark? Would you take a look? The reason I'm going to say to all, even believers out there, because when I say physics of miracles, when I say the physics of miracles in my experience, in my biblical understanding, in what I've experienced in these 36 years, I'm talking about answered prayer. I'm talking about God's intervention. I'm talking about healing. I'm talking about amazing, miraculous ways God arranges things. I'm talking about direct answers. I'm talking about the voice of the Spirit of God. I'm talking about interaction with God. To me, God's not a force in it. God's not a candy machine. God's not Lurch from the Addams Family. I just need to pull the chain and Lurch shows up. You rang. No, God is God. I'm the forgiven sinner. I'm loved by God. I am embraced by God. I don't need psychology. I have God. I don't have to listen to a song to get my emotions going. It's been a long walk. And so when I'm asking, what do you think you are reaching for? Maybe you're a believer in Christ and you're going through things and you're going through warfare and you're wondering what the heck is going on in your life. Where is God? I'm going to tell you right now, he's right there. Hebrews 11:6. I'll say it again. Hebrews 11:6. Now, he is there and he is not silent. I know that. Francis Schaeffer was right in that book. But Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith. See, that's like, if you think in terms of faith being the doorway, the window, God knocks at the window. And if you lift up your faith, if you put your faith in God, in his word in his revelation, he's able then to move. That window is open and God is able to pour in. It's impossible to please God without that faith. Those who come to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder. See, in that one little verse, the explosive revelation of God is God saying, I don't want you just to believe that I exist. I want you to believe what I'm like, that I'm a rewarder, that those who seek me find me. The reality is God seeking the world, the mission of God worldwide to those in China. Welcome to those in Estonia. Welcome to those in Oslo. Welcome in Pretoria and Johannesburg. Welcome in Brazil and all around the world. Welcome. I ask that in this 1 hour, God's extraordinary miracle. I mean, when I say the physics of God, I'm referring to what I see in Mark's Gospel chapter 1. When I think in terms of the physics of God, read Mark chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. It is an amazing explosion of intervention, a revelation of God, a revelation of radical evil, a revelation of salvation, of healing, of deliverance, of the physics of God in relational, passionate, compassionate terms. It's God face to face in the book of Mark. Gospel of Mark, incredible, living words. Well, I want to touch point two on the notes. Is it in the hands of man? Listen, Richard Dawkins, say I have a lot of questions. I would never fear. It's not about debate. What do you want in your tombstone? What do you want to wear when you're in the casket? And why? I mean, is there something significant about humanity that atheism can tell us? Can atheism tell us the significance and the value and the meaningfulness of humankind? Francis Schaeffer had this phrase. It was called the mannishness of man, that part of us that seeks significance. We want to exist. We hate living alone. Some of you listening do. But in Christ, you are never forsaken, never. Listen, I can say it by experience and I can quote the Word of God, but it's both what the Word of God says and what my experience is. God has never forsaken me. God has never left me, ever, ever, in all these years. Do I know the troubles? Have I learned to press through? Have I learned to count it pure joy in the midst of trials? Have I learned to grow in my faith and open wider to the depths of God in my life? Sure. And that's what I'm still doing. See, God is even deeper than our personal current experience of him in Christ. You surely haven't read every scripture, know every scripture, experience everyone, have you? What about the power of prayer? Now, I'm talking about here this concept, intention. It's one of the new things. Matter of fact, this guy that writes the book, Richard Bartlett, The Physics of Miracles, tapping into the field of consciousness potential. Now, is that what the new thing is? Human potential. So I'm going to say this. If there's no God, no heaven above, no earth below, no hell below, and then let's ask the question, what can man do? And if it's not just pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, because mankind stripped naked, raw, and deistic and or more than that, atheistic, or confused as an agnostic, or trying to make some kind of meaning out of life as an existentialist. Maybe a nihilist, just a depressed, coffee-drinking nihilist. So what can you do? What can you, I mean, we can all get a degree, we can read, we can grow, we can learn, we can be on this crazy merry-go-round, we can read about the 600 that died in the war in Libya, and Osama bin Laden's dead, and is he dead, and was he frozen, and is he in the sea, and, on this side of the fence where I'm at now, I see a linear progression. I know we're headed towards the very end of days. What I experience in Christ from 36 years ago to this day, what occurred at the cross, that when you read the Gospel of Mark, when you read that first chapter, that's the Jesus I know. That's the God of heaven. That's the living Christ. So if you want to just rely on yourselves and just, you know, human potential, brain power and memorization and more degrees and read everything and become a person of the world and on and on and on and on, all you're going to be able to do is share your experiences. And if you don't know God and you know 1,000 other things, well, you can share about 1,000 other things, but you can't share about God. I mean, you can say what you think about God, your anger about God, philosophizing about God. You can talk about God as God is on the other side of the fence. You've never experienced him. You don't know him. Obviously don't love him. But he loves you and he's coming after you. And that's why you're listening right now. Because of the prayers, because of heaven's passionate search and summoning of the human race, even at this critical hour. So what can you do? I mean, is it just a matter of jumping into the new age? Read the Course of Miracles written by who? By spirit guides that guided a psychologist. And so if you read them, then you can get to the spirit guides and the masters and you can get to the others. And all of a sudden engagements, none of that leads you to God. None of it leads you to the living Christ. Oh, a fake de-deified, pocket-sized, rabbit's foot fake Jesus, sure. Can't help you, can't do anything. But if you want the hand of God, if you want the presence of God, if you want the knowing of God, if you want personal relationship with God, then it's coming to the living Christ, God that came in human flesh. Let me say point three in the last couple of minutes here. I really believe it's all in the hands of God. And I mentioned four things for us to know, and I believe you can know all these things as you're reading the Gospel of Mark. The scope of God, oh man, the infinity, the immeasurability, the immortality, the indestructibility, the nature of God, the scope of God. That's why I'm saying God is awesome. I love just reading the attributes. I love reading theology and as it relates to biblical revelation and reading about God and looking and peering. And it's as if you're allowed to search and look into God. And the fullness of God is found in the person of Christ. He's the scripture calls him the exact representation of the very being, well, of the invisible God. We call the icon the exact stamp, visible of the invisible. He is God in human flesh. So the scope of God, what about the heart of God? Now, when you read the Gospel of Mark, you're going to find the scope of God, how big, how broad, what God is like in human flesh, what he can do. The heart of God, the intention of God, the physics of God. Well, music is here. We're done for the evening. We'll be back tomorrow night, Tuesday. This is Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net. And listen, put some prayers up for some of these miracles this week. Remember us, please, in support. God bless. Thank you.